Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, we have an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific listener poll on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, related to what we were just discussing with David Sanger. Do you think that the revolution in Egypt will influence the state of the regime in Iran? Register your response and join the conversation at our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Meanwhile, equal access to transportation was once a cornerstone of the civil rights movement. Plessy versus Ferguson, Rosa Parks and the Montgomery bus boycott, even the Freedom Riders. Civil rights and transportation were once intertwined. But at some point, things got derailed. Now people of color are more likely to use mass transit than whites. The budget crisis is causing many cities across the country to cut funding for public transit. Here now with a new radio documentary about this issue is Nancy Solomon. She's a radio reporter and the producer of Back of the Bus, Mass Transit, Race, and Inequality, which you might have caught this weekend on WNYC. Nancy, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
And here also is WNYC's own Andrea Bernstein, also a producer on this documentary and director of our Transportation Nation project. Hey, Andrea.
Good morning.
So take me through a timeline, briefly, of civil rights and transportation. It might surprise many of our listeners to learn that the infamous separate but equal Supreme Court decision involved the railroad, right?
Right. Plessy versus Ferguson was about Homer Ferguson was a rider on a train in the 1800s. And basically that court case legalized Jim Crow, legalized segregation, separate but equal, for another 60 years. And what you had over the series of the early 1900s is people making a case for equal opportunity in transit, not wanting to have to be forced to stand, not wanting to be forced to sit at the back of the bus. And then it all comes together with Rosa Parks and the Montgomery bus boycott. And I think, you know, it's hard today to kind of realize, you know, the humiliation that would happen on a daily basis for people. They'd work all day and they'd get, you know, then they take the bus home and they have to stand, give up their seat to a white person.
And at the same time the battle for school desegregation was taking place, the highway system was being built out. I'm going to play a clip now that talks about a consequence of this. This is Angela Glover Blackwell, the head of a nonprofit called Policy Link. She's an African-American who grew up in St. Louis right around the time of Brown versus Board of Education. She's talking about how she and a friend of hers, a white neighbor, were so excited to be able to go to school together.
But when September came, I went to the school on the corner, and she was bused to a school in the suburbs. She and I never spoke again, by the way. But what's more important about that story is that America missed an opportunity. It used highway construction, money, and public policy to defeat what we were doing through litigation and through our efforts on the street.
Powerful piece of history, Andrew.
Right. And, I mean, one of the things that is so poignant about this story, and by the way, Brian, before I forget to say it, the documentary is also airing Wednesday on both channels on WNYC, or you can go to the transportationnation.org website and download a copy. But what's so poignant about this story is that in city after city we went to, there were variations of this. I mean, one of the cities that I was in was Denver, and Denver, I learned through the course of this documentary, was the first non-Southern U.S. city to bring a school desegregation case up to the Supreme Court and won. And then what happened as a consequence of that was that all of the whites left Denver, moved out beyond the borders of the city, and the school system and, you know, what was left of the transit system there was basically all black and Mexican-American. And at the same time, Denver, like many American cities, had this huge streetcar network. And there were once 300 miles of streetcars in Denver. And at the same time, with the rise of the automobile, the construction, the case of Denver of I-70, was that resegregation just happened by enabling American society to redistribute itself along, you know, land use grounds.
Mm-hmm. So, Nancy, do you think the building of highways was part of a deliberate attempt to segregate people, or was it more of an unintended consequence of the Eisenhower-era interstate system?
Well, I think it was both, because it's racial fears that drives white people out of the city. But what allows them to get out of the city and commute back to the city for work are the highways. And so, you know, Eisenhower passes through Congress this huge, massive, massive infrastructure bill funding the interstate highways. And then each individual city routes the highway through the black community. And so then it's a double whammy, because then virtually in every city across the country, the black, what was largely a mixed income black community in an urban area, had a huge highway built right through the center of it. And that literally, you know, destroyed these communities. You know, and so then, I mean, at some point, I'd love to talk about Atlanta, which is just an amazing case of this.
Talk about Atlanta.
Okay, so Atlanta, they run two interstate highways right through the black community, and this is the community that Martin Luther King grows up in and where Ebenezer Church is located. And so they basically destroy the center of Atlanta. And Atlanta today has the worst sprawl in the nation. It has the number two worst traffic problems in the nation. And then along come in the 1970s, they want to create commuter rail to deal with this traffic. And so they develop a regional transit agency, MARTA, and the suburban counties refuse to join MARTA. And they don't want any part of public transit coming to their suburban communities. So today you have this legacy of that is born out of racial fear and segregation. You have a legacy of continued sprawl, pollution, traffic jams, and segregation.
Here's another clip from your Black History Month documentary, Back of the Bus. Here is Ora Lee Patterson talking about what happened when a highway came through St. Paul's Rondo neighborhood.
To own your own home after, you know, you couldn't vote, you weren't considered as a human being, and then to see what happened with the freeway and when they came through and gave them nickels and dimes for that property, they never gave those people what their houses were worth. Never.
So, Andrea, what's happening today? Is all of this history, or is it continuing to be a problem? Nancy talks about how that amazing story from Atlanta is a legacy that persists to this day. I wonder if people in Atlanta, by and large, are even aware of it. Where has this legacy brought us?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that was so interesting for us working on this documentary is how many times we had to sort of step back and say why we were doing it. But I hope people listen. But, I mean, one of the really fascinating things that's happening today, and one of the things that we're sort of leaving listeners with the question of, is that American cities, inner cities, and we actually have some fantastic tape in the documentary of the 1968 race riots in Washington, D.C., where an announcer, a newsreel announcer, talks about bands of Negroes roaming just blocks from the White House. And it really brings you back to this time when whites were sort of gripped with fear and were moving out to the suburbs. But what's happening now and what's happened in the last decade, and we spend a lot of time looking at this in the documentary, is that whites are moving back to cities that built transit systems. Washington, D.C. built its transit system right starting in the 1970s, 1980s, and it has a very extensive transit system. And what this has done is it's made the land in the inner city of Washington so much more valuable. So all of these people are moving back from the suburbs. They want to live within walking distance of transit. This is because of demographic trends, and it's because of the smaller families now in U.S. cities. But as a result of that, the census data, the last 10 years of census data that just came out at the end of last year, showed that American cities are becoming whiter and whiter, and blacks and Latinos are being pushed out to the fringes beyond the transit. And one of the things we talk about is this is where the mortgage meltdown really happened, out where people need two or sometimes even three cars to run a family.
Indeed. Manhattan, in the new census, more than 50% white for the first time since the 1970s. Another example may be Denver. Here is Tom Clark from your documentary, the head of Denver's Chamber of Commerce, talking about what development is doing to one downtown neighborhood.
As I drive home every night and look at the young people coming out of these condos, I wonder, they must have really rich parents. That's the only way I can figure out they can afford to live there.
So this is the head of the Chamber of Commerce who is making this comment. The reason that we went to Denver is not only because of this interesting racial history that I was talking about, but because Denver has the largest transit expansion in the country going on right now. And there are a number of groups in Denver, including the Housing Authority director there, who are trying to sort of take advantage of what's been learned in the last 50 years and say, let's create along the rail line affordable housing. Let's grab that land before the market can snap it up, and let's make sure it can be affordable in perpetuity. There's even a group in Denver called the Urban Land Conservancy, kind of like the Nature Conservancy, but for urban affordable housing, that's saying, let's take these lots and let's hold them for 30 years and then build affordable housing that will be very dense and convenient for working class and middle class Denverites.
We're almost out of time, but Nancy, the president, talked about high-speed rail in his State of the Union address, and it's there today, and the budget proposal that just came out this morning. Is that relevant to this at all, or is that just something completely different because it's city-to-city rail?
No, well, it's relevant in the sense that what we have right now is an interest in funding rail. And I think rail's fabulous and we'd love to see rail funded. But what's interesting in relationship to the story of civil rights is that what happened, the legacy of the Montgomery bus boycott is that black people got the right to ride at the front of the bus. White people stopped riding the bus. And so what you have is you have investment in light rail, you have investment in commuter rail, you have investment in intercity rail, but city bus systems are dying. And who rides those systems? And so that's another part of this story. And you even have cities, we cover cities where light rail literally is being built through black and Latino communities and not stopping. So it continues. Right. The inequality continues today.
I just wanted to add that, you know, New York, where obviously many of our listeners are, is sort of an outlier because New York has the most extensive transit system in the nation. New York, 50% of people in the 14 counties that make up our metro area, 50% ride transit every day to work, compared to the next closest city, which is San Francisco, at 24%. So we didn't spend a lot of time looking at transit, and, you know, the New York buses are a little different from the other systems. But once you get out in America, these patterns hold almost everywhere you go.
Nancy Solomon, producer of the new WNYC Black History Month special, Back of the Bus. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, also a producer on the special and the director of our Transportation Nation project. Back of the Bus will air one more time on WNYC Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. That's on both AM and FM. And you can listen to it anytime on transportationnation.org. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll be riding up there. And if you miss me from the back of the bus, and you can't find me nowhere, come on up to the front of the bus. And I'll